This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Society of Avengers.
This is the headquarters of the Brimstone Society.
Physical strength means nothing.
I do not intend to stop fighting for a second.
Will the world be ruled by light or darkness?
Prepare to witness the beginning of the new era.
Blood Rain. The adventure begins.
How I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
You cannot stop me. Like, I keep coming. I have really good endurance. I just live with resistance, and I can live with stress. I can live with age or whatever, doing my thing, and I move forward, and I don't get nervous if something doesn't work out right away. And I like harsh R-rated movies. I like bloody movies. I like to do physically explosions and stuff like this.
Thank you so much for speaking to us on Sci-Fi and Scream, all the way from Vancouver.
No, Uwe. I mean, the connection is not so good, so if you ask me something, always maybe don't talk too fast or whatever.
Okay.
The connection is a little bad here, but I try my best.
Okay, thank you. Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay, there's obviously a bit of a delay, but we'll get there. I'll go slow. It's very exciting actually speaking to you, Uwe, because we've got a lot of fans here in Australia who certainly love your films and your life and what you've achieved.
Thank you.
And so I'll just introduce you and everything, and we'll get started. Thank you so much. Okay, this is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9, and we have the privilege of speaking to Uwe Boll, the man, the director, producer, screenwriter, whose work we all know, a lot of it adapted from video games, movies to video games, and of course he has his own film production company, one of them is Event Films, and famously have been known to be what they call low budget, but certainly we enjoy them for the genre that they appeal to. Of course, horror, sci-fi, action, things that our listeners love. So I want to welcome you to Sci-Fi and Scream, Uwe Boll.
Hi.
That was a bit of a long intro, but I was talking slow so you could hear it as well, hopefully. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Uwe, look, I'm sure you get this a lot. You have been voted one of the most controversial directors that currently exists. What's that like to have that kind of, you know, people talk about you in that way? What is that like for you and your experience?
I mean, I couldn't pick, right? So it just happened that after I shot the movie House of the Dead,
yes.
And then shortly after Alone in the Dark, I got branded as a video game director, in a way, or video game-based movies director, and didn't get good reviews, and a lot of people were hyped up against me and critics and so on. And the other thing is that I was never part of the system. Like, I was never a Hollywood, like, never lived in Hollywood and never had an agent there or a manager. So I was a total outsider, and it was easy to, like, try to punish an outsider, you know, so for the mainstream reviewers.
Yes, it does make sense when you say it like that, because you haven't done the normal thing is for most directors, whether they're from Europe, Australia even, is to head to Hollywood and take whatever's given to the director as far as work goes. You've done the opposite. Is there a reason why you haven't left, well, you've gone to Canada, but why you've never gone to Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, I was with, when I planned to do, after a few German movies, I felt I have to do American movies, and I went to Los Angeles for a few months. It was 1998 and 1999, and then a co-production company in L.A. said, we are shooting in Vancouver, not in L.A., actually. So I was flying up to Vancouver, and my first movie, Sanctimony, serial murder movie, with Casper Van Dien, Eric Roberts, Michael Paré. I shot there in January 2000, and then I liked Vancouver a lot. I actually liked it way more as Los Angeles. So I felt, okay, if we can make movies here, good, perfect. I'm very happy about doing movies here. So, and because I personally never really liked Los Angeles, it's like I'm okay there for a week, but I cannot actually live there. And so that was maybe the reason I never shot their movie and never really got integrated in the system. You know, like, I'm from the beginning on, I was used to produce my own movies, and so I'm a producer-director, so I don't really had to, or I didn't wait till somebody else finances my movies. I go and try to get the financing together on my own.
Okay. And I guess it's that real daring, and you're like being a pioneer, particularly when it comes to locating yourself there in Canada and doing films that have a lot. They're big idea films, I guess, because, you know, from video games, as for example, they are action movies too. Most people would assume that's going to be a Hollywood venture, but you've done the opposite, so...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of movies are getting made in Vancouver. When I shot Alone in the Dark, X-Men was directly on the next studio, like 100 meters away from us. They were shooting X-Men, where Halle Berry was in and so on. And, I mean, we have very good crews in Vancouver. But at the same time, I think I'm the director who actually shot the most movies here in Vancouver from all the directors. You know, they should give me the key of the city or something. I don't know, but it's kind of... I really did a lot of help here also, and brought business and money from Germany. I raised most of the money for my movies in Germany.
Okay.
And so I brought business over here. And the good thing is, when you then, in the later years now, it's tough to get bigger budgets together. So I make movies like Rampage, Salem Wall Street, what comes out in Australia now, or Rampage 2, and movies like this on smaller budgets. But I still, because I know everybody, I can ask for favors and get very good crew, like, very cheap.
Yes, so you've got Rampage, and that's the one that's the most recent one, Rampage 2?
Yeah. Rampage 2 is, I think, in Australia now, Assault on Wall Street with Dominic Purcell comes out.
Yes.
And then I think Rampage 2, it should be out or should come out also now, and that was the last one I did. They're kind of similar movies, but different undertones. Assault on Wall Street is about the bailout 2008, and that a lot of people lost their houses, and you have a guy going on a rampage, basically, based on this. He's losing everything, then he kills everybody. And Rampage 1 and Rampage 2 is more about that guy is very cynical. He's not a good guy. He's not somebody who needs a reason to go on a rampage. He's just doing it. So, but these are movies I really, really, and I really, I've wrote them also. And the movies I write, I'm more like emotionally involved into also.
Yes.
You know, like for me, In the Sound of Wall Street, Rampage, Attack on Darfur, all these movies are closer to my heart or closer to my interest as House of the Dead or Alone in the Dark, as an example.
Okay, I was going to come to Alone in the Dark. It's probably one of my favorites, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I do really love it. I wasn't expecting to like it because of people telling me, oh, you won't like it, Sonia. It's not as good as what it, you know, could have been. And I just thought, wow, this is pretty interesting and, quite brilliant, really, based on the survival horror video game. Do you actually play the games too yourself? Is that what draws you to?
Yes, I mean, when I got the rights, I played the games, of course, too. And it helps that the son of my brother is like a professional gamer. And when I'm cannot get through something, he can play any game till the end. He actually worked at working on Crysis and Far Cry on developers in Frankfurt, so I brought him, get him a job there. And always try to, with the movies, to do straightforward, more old-fashioned action movies, also with Alone in the Dark, with House of Death, with Blood Rain, Dungeon Siege, Far Cry. Not too much CGI. I mean, we had creatures, of course, in Alone in the Dark, but I like to do physically explosions and stuff like this. I agree with what you said. You know, when I got bad reviews for Alone in the Dark, I felt, I like Alone in the Dark more as Elektra or Daredevil.
Yes.
Or, you know, like, that was always funny. Like, I got always like, oh, it's so bad, the worst of the worst. But I watched also all the movies, right? So, and I always know 5 to 10 other movies. They were not so good as Alone in the Dark, you know? So, but they got better reviews. I mean, in retrospective, I think a lot of the reviews I got for a lot of the video game-based movies or genre movies I did were total over-the-top negative and not really accurate.
Yeah, I think you're right. Blood Rain, which brings us to that, is probably one of my favorite as far as, you know, being fantasy as well as action and horror. You know, set in a time that's, you know, set in Romania, 18th century, of course. It also has, for us, because we're an LGBTIQ, a gay radio station, that works well with Christina Loken in it, of course. Really, the time when it came out, there wasn't anything quite like it. Back in 2005.
Yeah, you know, I went there for, like, because when you see movies like Resident Evil or Underworld, in a way, they're always trying to get, in especially the newer ones, a PG-13 rating and stuff like this. And I like harsh R-rated movies. I like bloody movies. Mm. And I felt if I make it like a Blood Rain movie, for example, I want sex and violence and gore.
Mm.
Because that is what vampires are also, right?
So exactly,
blood,
yeah.
And blood and so on. Yeah, so I never cared about the rating. I made it so brutal and nudity and whatever I wanted. And I think, I know that some people at least love it. Maybe not all the reviewers or whatever, but I get still emails about Blood Rain and Blood Rain 3 also then. A lot of people like Blood Rain 3 about that. The movies were in a way consequent. They are kind of harder, so and not Hollywood mainstream, and some people like it.
Exactly, yeah, and it's good to see strong female protagonists, good characters like that, really kicking ass basically and killing, and it's just fabulous watching that.
I mean, that is the thing. What I also think. Yeah, exactly. You don't have a lot of female superheroes, and at the same time, if the female superheroes, then they're all like kind of harmless, you know, whatever. You have Scarlett Johansson and the Avengers or whatever, right? So, but it's not really, I don't know, Jessica Alba in the Fantastic Four, and I wanted to do like a real, like, darker, bloody Blood Rain. So, that is what we went for.
Will you do more Blood Rain in the future, or is that the end of the game as well, or and the movie?
I mean, we wanted to do Blood Rain 4, like to finish it in a way up the whole story. And every episode on Blood Rain, I moved like almost 100 years forward. So the first one was like the 1700, and then we went in the Wild West in the second part, and we went in the Second World War in the third part, and I wanted to do temporary Blood Rain. And Natasha Malta was also happy to do it again, and but the video company Majesco is basically blocking it. They don't want it anymore. They don't want more movies. And I said, why? I mean, I think my movies are actually better known as the game. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and I think also the movies help to promote the game. And
exactly.
They see it different, and they don't want that I make a movie anymore. And I totally don't get it. I think it's completely absurd.
Yeah. I mean, we've got Resident Evil. The amount of films that have been pretty terrible for Resident Evil, I don't think it's done justice to the game. So
exactly.
You know,
yeah, I agree.
They're losing out on a promotion, basically. And it brought me to the game, not the other way around. And I think a lot of fans would say the same.
Yeah, yeah.
What's coming up for you? What sort of projects that you do have on the back burner?
Yeah, I have various movies. Like, I want to do Rampage 3 to actually finish that story about Bill Williamson. It will be a very hard ending and pressing ending, but I think it's necessary to do the movie. And then I have a movie, The Viking, what is kind of harder, like a little Mads Mikkelsen Valhalla Rising movie.
Oh, yes.
It's also very, very bloody. And I have a thriller, 12 Hours. It's the name where a guy has killed within 12 hours 7 people. And in the beginning, we actually think he is a professional killer, but then we find out that he is actually blackmailed to do it. It's a very good written movie, and it's a little like Taken, but I think actually better. It's like a better story. And I hope that I get one of the three soon financed in a way that I can finally do it. Because since last year, January, when I shot Rampage 2, I didn't shot a movie, and now I really, want to make another movie.
No, I mean, you've got a lot on. You're so prolific. How do you keep inspired? I mean, there's a lot of criticism about your style of work and the projects you pick. For all that criticism, you just keep going. What makes you make films?
I mean, that is also the thing, what in retrospective, I think is my biggest asset. That I have really good endurance. I just live with resistance, and I can live with stress. I can live with age or whatever, doing my thing, and I move forward, and I don't get nervous if something doesn't work out right away.
Yeah.
So you know, and that is the thing where I think overall, if you see the last 20 years, I made 30 movies, maybe more than everybody else, and I'm very proud of what I did. That is the thing, you know.
Yes.
And it's
any chance
kind of my character. That you cannot stop me. Like, I keep coming.
That brings me to the obvious question, and I'm sure you get this a lot, about the so-called petition to have you retire. Back in 2008, The Guardian ran an article claiming that you'd promised to retire if an online petition asked you to do it, if it received 1 million signatures. What made you say that for a start, that you would think about it?
No, I mean, that was not really, I mean, I said as a joke, if one million people signed a petition, I stopped making movies, and then they actually went out and did the whole petition, and then they made real advertising about it, went everywhere viral, and they got hundreds of thousands of signatures.
Goodness.
And that is the thing. I also didn't really took that totally serious. And kept going, you know, and I did that boxing fights against the critics, and like, if I get hit, I hit back, so it's like, you know, we had a petition also where people, not so many, but maybe 30,000 people signed that I shouldn't stop making movies, so in the end, it all played out, it was okay.
No, I think it worked out well. It certainly brought attention to a lot of your work. Personally, I just thought, wow. I don't think I've ever seen that before, where people asked someone to retire or made up a petition as such. But I think you handled that really well, and you probably got more followers than ever because of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is that always when people say, look, there is no bad press or something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I agree, I disagree. I think there is bad press, and there is also press what hurt sales. That is what it is, right? So, but on the other hand, I think also that I didn't have a choice, right? So I only can deliver the best possible movies I can make, and then I have to live with it. I mean, that is the thing, and I have to stick with my gut feeling. I've made some movies I'm not so happy with. I would change stuff. You know, on Alone in the Dark, I would, of course, not hire Tara Reid again. I would have a different actress, for example. So there are decisions you regret. But on the other hand, that is, if you never make, you know, you can make only mistakes if you make something. And if you never make anything, you can never make a mistake. So I think it's very important that I'm actually, like, learning also. You know, like, it's not like if you see the last movies, like The Assault on Wall Street, Attack on the Four, The Rampage 1 and 2, and stuff like this. I think these are excellent movies. And I think they are, like, really good action scenes, really good story. They just work better as a House of the Dead did, for example. So it's a long journey, but I think I'm on a very good track, and I did a lot of very interesting good movies in the last 5-6 years.
Well, I think people can see that. And like I said, you've been so prolific, and you certainly have these very strong characters and these ideas and so much action and in a film with the budget required, you know, with those limitations, you've done an exceptional job, you know. And I think... I think your choice of Tara Reid was perfect, personally. I thought that was one of her best. But, you know, who cares about the critics, right?
No, but that is the thing. It's like, you know, taste is different, you know. Yeah. And there are movies where I can just shake my head and think, like, I just watched, for example, The Master from Paul Thomas Anderson. I think it's a boring piece of shit. I watched her with Joaquin Phoenix falling in love with his cell phone, was completely retarded. You know, like, there are a lot of movies, and they were even nominated for Oscars. And where I think, just, what the fuck is that? You know, I even think 12 Years as a Slave is only a good TV movie. I never was really gripped by the whole movie. Film stuff playing a kind of a predictable, boring story, you know. But that is where some people think it this way, and I don't have the mainstream taste. You know, I love Django. I love the Wolf of Wall Street. So some commercial movies I really love, you know, but other people have different tastes. I mean, for me, it was a miracle how last year Wolf of Wall Street wouldn't win the best.
I was surprised.
That was the best.
It was a risk. So. It was a risk, I think, for Scorsese, even though it had a big star in it. And people didn't want to look at that side of society and culture, I don't think.
No, but that is the thing. Is that I think that was exactly how it was on Wall Street. You know, I love that movie because it showed the whole dirty situation.
Yeah,
right? So they were
very
all
engaging.
Comebacks, stealing money from everybody and taking drugs and prostitutes and everything. And I think that they totally nailed that situation in the movie. And compare this to Wall Street 2 from Oliver Stone, which was an absolutely disaster.
What I loved about The Wolf of Wall Street is it was actually quite inspiring. You know, there's a lot of positives you can take out of it too. Even though I know that they were scumbags and unethical and all the rest, there's actually that drive, that a personal drive, you know, a personal thing that people do to get where they want to go. And I know it's not the right thing to say, but I found it quite an inspirational film. But
yeah, too many people have to get away with it. That is the other thing.
The other thing is the downside is you've got Rampage.
He went to jail, but exactly.
Now, if you had the chance to be offered a movie like Wolf of Wall Street and to make it in Hollywood, to go and make it down there, would you do it?
No, of course. I mean, if it would have the chance that somebody is, whatever, finances a movie of mine or a studio, and I can do my thing, I would totally do a movie, you know, so like this. But I don't think it will ever happen. So I think it's more realistic that I keep doing what I'm doing, like selling movies also for third-party producers and then creating some money with this, and at the same time then investing in my own movies. And I try that now with VOD worldwide. It's not the big revenue stream, but with more VOD channels, you have more possibilities that more people see your movies. And that maybe a lot of my movies slowly building over the next years also an audience everywhere.
Well, that's how I've watched a lot of your films, your past films. I've watched them on VOD, and that's how I've been able to find out more about you, because I haven't been able to go to the DVD shop and buy them.
Yeah, I agree. And that is the thing, like for film historics, in a way, VOD is gold, because you can easier access movies you cannot find anymore. In earlier years, where if TV was not showing a movie and you couldn't find it in the DVD store, it was over.
Yeah.
And
that was it.
Now,
yeah,
with online distribution, it's also kind of an online library just there, you know, like where we actually have access to.
No, I think I find it to be fine. I think it's a positive thing, and helps get a lot of filmmakers out there and to be known and to see a backlog of all their work. Now, before I let you go, what's the story about you and becoming a chef or entering the restaurant business? That's different.
Yeah, no, I'm not a chef, but I always felt here in Vancouver I'm missing German food.
Uh-huh.
And so I brought a German chef, Stefan Hartmann, from Berlin to Vancouver right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened a restaurant in Gastown in the middle of Vancouver with the name Bauhaus, like that old architecture style from Germany, Bauhaus. So and Hartmann has a Michelin star, so he's a top chef. But I'm not cooking there.
You're not cooking?
There, but I invested in the restaurant in the hope I can make some money on this and can finance Rampage with restaurant revenue. So it's like, it's always funny when people say a restaurant is a super high-risk business. I know, but what are movies? I mean, you know, like, if I'm used to have super high risk on money. And so from this point of view, I don't think a restaurant is a higher risk as making a movie.
You're probably right, because people need to eat.
Yeah, you know, so... everybody wants to eat, and there is actually a big German community in Vancouver also, and they're missing that food also from Germany. And I'm sure, like, everybody who likes meat, who likes fish, whatever, will enjoy that restaurant. So, you know, yeah, maybe the wrong place for vegetarian, but it doesn't.
What's the signature dish? Do you have a signature dish yet, or
we will have Sauerbraten. That is specialty from Cologne, where I'm coming from, with basically a big top brown piece of meat, what you put 3 days in a vinaigrette with red wine and vinaigrette, actually, and apple juice. It's getting kind of sour around, right? So, and then you cook that meat 8 hours in that vinaigrette on the day you want to eat it, and then that vinaigrette turns into a very dark, nice, a little sour sauce.
Yum.
With that beef, it's amazing. With dumplings, red cabbage, and in a side pot, fresh apple compote.
Wow. Wow. That sounds very delicious. And the Vancouver weather, I'm sure it's going to be very popular.
Yeah, you know, it's perfect. German food is perfect for bad weather.
Mm.
We have enough from it. Yeah.
Congratulations for the restaurant. Good job, I think.
Yeah, let's see. In 1 year we talk again and we were bankrupt already. We will see, but let's hope for the best.
Well, at least you have dumplings. And look, it's fantastic being speaking to you today, Uwe, about Uwe Boll, about all your work and such a huge career. We could probably talk more, but I realize it's valuable, your time. So I appreciate your time today for Sci-Fi and Scream.
No problem. I'm happy to come back in any time in a half year or a year, and then we follow up.
But before I let you go and do your work, I wonder if you could do a station ID for the show. For my show?
Yeah, so what should I say?
Obviously your name, anything you like about yourself, or just your name, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Really?
Scream, not scream, but scream, like in squeamish, like a nausea.
Okay,
sorry.
Well, because I want the 94.9, I want
That's
to
it.
Better read that.
That's Joy
94.9. I don't know, one
second.
Great.
So,
okay. Here it comes. Hi, I'm Uwe Boll, and you listen to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And in the background, you hear my phone ringing already, because I'm coming too late to my next appointment. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Uwe.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Goodbye. Cheers. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Fantastic. That was Uwe Boll, the man himself. He's made so many films, the incredibly prolific and talented man. The man that says he'll dare to do it all, and he has. Whether you like his movies or not, he's done them. The German director has made some breakthroughs when it comes to basically transplanting or transferring the concept of video games, video game fantasy and so on, onto film, to celluloid, to make these cinema hits, which were probably more misses than hits actually, have ended up on DVD and VOD and certainly been enjoyed. Blood Rain is one of them, with its bisexual content and Michelle Rodriguez and Christina Loken in it. Postal is another one. We've got Name of the King 1 and 2, House of the Dead, and of course Alone in the Dark, and now Rampage 2. There's been Rampage 1, of course. Far Cry, Suddenly, I mean, Blood Rain 2. Oh, look, there's so many films from this man. And Seed is another one. And going back to Blackwoods, way back, and Sanctimony, and such films like that, and The Final Storm, and Schmeling, and Zombiegeddon. I mean, it just goes on. So this man's done a lot of work. Now based in Vancouver in Canada, he's still working hard, trying to raise funds. And now he has a restaurant called the Abul House. So it's a German-themed restaurant, and we wish it that it does well, and we wish him all the best with Rampage 2 coming out soon on DVD. I want to thank, of course, Leslie Morris, and for letting me chat to Uwe Boll. Now, he's not going away. He's not going to retire anytime soon, and we can expect him to be making plenty more movies in the next 30 years. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and speaking to Uwe Boll here on Joy. We love Uwe Boll. We admit it. This is Sonia, the Screamer, on Joy.
Here comes a candle to light your bed, and here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Good night, folks, and if you're not decapitated, remember to tune in next time for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.